Well, as you know, we're representative of people in the community, and we've heard from seniors, we've heard from families with small children, we've heard from people who have loved ones who are considered more vulnerable to illness, who have been saying to us they feel abandoned by the change in public policy around masking and enforcing the public health guidelines that we've all abided by for the last 2 years that have helped to prevent more dire impact from the pandemic than we actually experience.
Last week, the Department of Public Health told CHMA that public health continues to encourage people to use public health measures based on the risk to themselves and their families. The choice remains with the individual. Do you think public health has been clear about its recommendations?
Oh, I think that those are the guidelines we all need to follow. The question is, can we enforce them? If you go down to Marshview Middle School tomorrow, you will see a whole bunch of kids showing up at school with masks on, and then you will see them take the masks off, because that's what 12-year-olds do in a peer situation, right? And there's no rule that's going to have anybody in that school enforcing them to keep the masks on, like there was prior to the release of that restriction recently by government. So, and I think that happens to everybody in a peer group. You'll recall in Ottawa when the protesters were in front of the Parliament building, there was so much mask shaming. There's a lot of aggressive mask shaming for people who do wear masks, who choose to make masks, to wear masks. And we need government leadership to say, you know what, that's the right choice. It's one thing to know the right thing to do. It's another thing to be in a context when you can actually do that. And we think it's putting downloading responsibility to those who have the least power to do it. We were, one of our members is working as a volunteer in a community organization, and they're looking at hiring summer students. And those summer students are going to be the ones who are going to be the face of the organization that says, would you please wear a mask? So we're paying minimum wage to the people who are becoming the face of public health and public policy in our communities, rather than taking responsibility from the top down as good leaders.
The letter says you're looking for updates on a weekly basis. Earlier in the pandemic, there were frequent live-streamed media conferences where reporters had a chance to ask questions to decision makers. What do you think about the current level of transparency and information coming from the province?
You know, the thing I appreciated most about those weekly updates when they were broadcast, you saw people's faces. They answered questions. There was a real sense of connection and community that we're just not seeing when you have to go click 4 or 5 times to find the report on a government website, as if it's not that important. The other thing that we mentioned, David, was the concept of long COVID. 10 to 20% of people are going to have long-term problems. There is measurable change in neurological status, in heart status, in lung status. There's all sorts of data there. And we don't seem to have anything that's going to support people who do develop longer-term symptoms. And if it's 10 to 20% of everyone who gets infected, and they're expecting that all of us will be infected, just what is that going to do to our communities? Our workforces may never recover. So we do question the lack of public health stringent measures that are going to protect people, because the safest person is the person who never gets it. And all medical professions agree with that.
With the lack of data, it's hard to know how widespread COVID-19 actually is in the community. Anecdotally, how widespread do you think it is in the Sackville area right now?
Oh, just today, somebody said, it's everywhere. You know, then my grandchild came home from school and said half the students in his class were out. Now, we don't know what that's from. You know, we don't have access to that. But everybody seems to be getting it. I hear at the university, you know, there's a couple of dozen people, you know, but it's all anecdotal. And we know how reliable that is, don't we, right? This allows for people to become hysterical, for rumors to guide people's activities and responses rather than good data. Good leaders provide good data, good recommendations. They follow the recommendations of the professionals. They use evidence-based decision-making, and that's what we're asking for.
The task force also asked the provincial government to provide more incentives for people to get vaccinated. What kind of incentives are you looking for from the government?
Oh, gosh. I wish I knew, but with 50% of children in schools not vaccinated, that is a huge issue. And I think we need to do more messaging. We need to get more information out to families so that they can trust the vaccines, so that we can get more kids vaccinated. We don't want to get hysterical about it, but the risk to children is significant. My own professional work, I work with adults with disabilities. We know the effect that a disability has on a child, on their development and their prospects for adults. We need to protect children as well as we can in so many ways. This is a preventable disease. Surely we can do better.